talking with Laura Shigihara from her new game, Rockwin. I hope I pronounced that right. I have a tendency to mess everything up when I pronounce almost anything. But let me talk about your accomplishments first. Laura, of course, is the maker of the opening intro to Plants vs. Zombies. She's had work done on Ghost Harvest, To the Moon, World of Warcraft, and of course, and I'm probably missing a few, Laura. If you have any more credits that you want to throw out there, let us know. But pretty impressive so far.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I actually did the soundtrack and all the audio for Plants vs. Zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a lot of random projects. Yeah. I've probably worked on about like 25 published titles, I think, but a lot of them are kind of random little games.
So let's talk about your start in the gaming world, Laura. You basically, from what I'm gathering, you started off in the music field. Is that correct?
Yeah.
What kind of made you want to go into gaming as opposed to just being a musician or an artist?
Well, I think when I was little, I really liked video game music specifically. Mm-hmm. Like, I would leave the Mega Man games. Like, I'd leave them running in the background when I did my homework.
Yeah.
So I really loved the music. And I think from a pretty young age, I thought, oh, it would be so cool to compose for games. I used to play game music instead of my piano assignments. Sorry to my teachers, because I wouldn't practice my homework, and I'd be like, oh, but I figured out this one theme from Mega Man 5, and they'd be like, uh-huh.
Yeah. I wish our co-host Breakman was here, because he's a big Mega Man fan. He's a big fan of yours as well. He played Plants vs. Zombies for the longest. But yeah, he's a big Mega Man fan.
Cool.
Yeah, so talk about your time on Plants vs. Zombies. Was that a tedious chore, or was that something? Because I can't imagine building all the sound design and some original music for the game.
It wasn't tedious. I think it was a lot of fun because I had a lot of flexibility with it. So I guess the biggest challenge was probably creating music that matched all the different like themes. Like, sure. It's zombies. So you sort of imagine some kind of like occult sounding, you know, like,
yeah,
like scary, slightly scary music or something, you know, but at the same time, the zombies or the plants and some of the zombies, I don't know. It's kind of a cute game too, you know?
Yeah. It's a great game.
And at the same time, it's got a lot of like funniness to it. So I was like, oh, how do I make it feel scary, cute, and funny? So it was kind of, yeah.
I'm not a huge player of Plants vs. Zombies, but I have played it. And I remember the one thing in my mind was that the music, before I even knew who you were, the music was fantastic. And I think that drew a lot of people to the game, even beyond the standard gameplay of Plants vs. Zombies. So I think that's a huge accomplishment, and you know, thank you for your work on that game in particular. I want to talk a little bit about your work on your new game, Rockwin. This game seems super personal. Was it a personal journey of yours?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, the game took about like 4 years to make. I started it more than 4 years ago, but it's, I took some time off to work on other projects here and there. But yeah, it was very long. A lot of stuff happened over the course of development in my life. You know, I had some health issues going on, and I think a lot of the story, a lot of the characters were based on either real people or personal experiences in some way, shape, or form. And it was a challenge, I think, sticking with it for that long. But at the same time, I really wanted to tell the story. And when I finished the game, it felt like completing like a journey, a personal journey. So
It plays a lot like a mortality play. Can you talk a little bit about that and why you decided to kind of contrast the art style with the content?
You mean like the sort of chipper, bright world versus like the hospital?
Sure. Yeah.
I think that the message I kind of wanted to get across, I should start by saying that, like, I was kind of inspired by, have you guys seen the movie Life is Beautiful, that Italian film?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
So, like, in that movie, I was really inspired by how the dad in the film created this world for his son, that even though they were going through, you know, very terrible things around them, the son never had to feel afraid. You know, he was safe. And it was just amazing to me how a lot of times parents or caretakers do that. You know, they put aside their own fears and kind of make this world for their children,
right,
to protect them. Right. And so I guess that combined with the idea that a lot of times parents will try to change the perspective of their child when they're going through something, because so much of what we experience depends on perspective. So I guess with the fantasy world, I wanted to make it contrast greatly to show that, especially with the Yami scenes, yeah, that mood and perspective can change everything. So you have like this kind of dull world where it's like you don't know what's going to happen. There's a lot of, you know, death and tragic situations going on around you. But then you can choose to oftentimes look at it, you know, in a very beautiful way.
Sure.
And the mom is kind of helping the boy to view his situation, you know, and perhaps he's learning about other patients in the hospital, maybe recounting their stories to her in this kind of through a child's lens, I guess you could say.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So I guess that's probably why I wanted to do that, sort of the perspective and like how different it can be.
I think it's a well thought out, brilliant approach. Eric, I know you had some questions about the development of the game. Do you want to ask your questions?
I kind of want to know what led to you from just making music to getting into game development.
I think I've always kind of wanted to make a game. Like ever since I was little, like I always say, I used to design like Mega Man levels and bosses on paper, and I'd write out like RPG plots. but I think like, yeah, I guess I'd always just wanted to do it. I was just looking for the right time. And I worked on like a hobby project before called Mellow Moon, which was kind of a more straight up JRPG. It was a huge project. Like I think the demo I released was only like a few hours, but I actually finished about 20 or 30 hours of it. And I had originally intended to come back and finish that. But I always tell people, like, you know how, like, when you're playing an RPG and you stop playing and you kind of forget where you were?
Yeah.
So it's, like, even worse if you're making an RPG, because it's just like, oh, my gosh, there's, like, so many different pieces of equipment and so many NPCs. And what quest are they on right now? How's everything lined up? So I was just like, maybe I'll make a smaller game to kind of, like, get warmed up again, because I think I forgot a lot, too. Like, I felt rusty. So that was Rockwin, and that was supposed to be a smaller project. It was actually like my friend Emmy, who is the, you know, the lead artist in the game. We were initially going to make just a music video for the jump song, and she was like, yeah, like I'll do some concept art sketches. And so when we met up and she showed me the art, I was like so inspired. I said, oh, we shouldn't just do a video, we should do a whole game.
No. So yeah, that's
that
how
quote unquote little project became the big 4-year project.
We're talking with Laura Shigehara from Rockwind fame and Plants vs. Zombies, a bunch of other credits to her name. Eric, you had a question about the game engine itself.
Yeah. Is there any particular reason that you use the RPG Maker engine?
I think mainly to save time, because I wanted to make a game that had tile set based art, and, you know, the kind of 4x4 sprite sheets, like all that stuff was built in. There was a lot of things that, like, if I did from the ground up, it would have taken a lot longer. And also in the beginning, I thought it would, at first Rockwind was a crafting game, and I'm like, oh, it would be fun to try that in RPG Maker and see if I could do it. But yeah, I think mainly to save time. Cause we ended up not using any of the art. I think we have like one or two pieces of like art assets from the licensed graphics, and we ended up replacing everything else, but the system just saved a lot of time.
Yeah. That I think that was the only criticism really that Eric had of the game was that, you know, you could tell you were super limited with the RPG Maker engine.
Yeah. Like the, I think one of the biggest things I hear is the resolution, like since it's 640 by 480, and I always have to be like, I'm sorry, like we couldn't change it. Yeah. But
Eric, you also had a question about moving forward, what the plans are.
Yeah, I just want to know if you had any future projects in the pipeline you could mention.
Oh, let's see. So I'm working on the soundtrack for a game called Dunk Lords, which my friend Andy, who is the voice of Tony, and he also was the programmer on Spelunky. Mm-hmm. He's making this super funny basketball game. It's like a mix between basketball and Smash Brothers and with some RPG elements thrown in. It's super fun and silly. So he asked me to do the soundtrack. So I'm going
to
be working on that.
All you had to do was say basketball and RPG and everything else you just said, Laura. I'm in. Let's talk about Rockwind a little bit more. How long in total did it take you to, you know, from start to finish? I read on your blog, but just for listeners who aren't aware of the game, what is the game about, and how long did it take you to finish the entire project?
Okay, so I've been saying about 4 years. I started earlier than that, but there was like a few months here and there that I'd take off to like, I had to work on other projects and stuff. But I'd say about 4 years in total. And the game is about a little boy who lives in the hospital, and he asks his mom one day to escort him to the fantasy world from his favorite storybook so he can ask for a wish from the guardian of the forest. And in order to do that, he has to complete these challenges that revolve around helping his neighbors in the hospital by interacting with their alter ego. So, for example, his neighbor to the south is this kind of grumpy old man named Tony, and the nurses and doctors complain, oh, he's so grumpy, he's like a big angry bear.
Yeah.
But when you go to the fantasy world, his alter ego is literally a big angry bear.
That's perfect.
So it's kind of an adventure game. It's, I would say, in terms of gameplay, it's like a point-and-click adventure at first.
Mm-hmm.
You solve like room escape puzzles. There's like, you know, things like anagrams and timed puzzles and things like that. There's a dungeon that's kind of like something you'd find in like Legend of Zelda Link to the Past, except there's no fighting. And then the way the game is set up is it actually, this is like a personal thing. In the beginning, when I play RPGs, I like don't really know the character, so cutscenes don't mean as much to me. But after I work for it, you know, like do a bunch of battles and I'm invested, then I want to see more. So by like the end of the game, I'm like, oh, I don't want to fight. I just want cutscenes. I want to know what happens in the story.
Right.
So Rockwind's set up that in the beginning, it's more heavy on like the point and click kind of gameplay and puzzle solving. And then towards the end of the game, it's kind of more heavily weighted on exposition, so you can get right into the heart of the like last story.
Sure.
So,
What were your influences going through? I mean, you mentioned RPGs. What type of RPGs did you glean some of your insight for Rockwind?
Let's see. Well, my favorite game of all time is Chrono Trigger, and I just really liked everything about it. I thought the music was really good. I thought it had a really creative battle system, and I loved the art and the story and the twists and everything. So I guess it was sort of loosely like I learned things from like the music in that game, but the game is very different, obviously, from Chrono Trigger. It's not a JRPG. But I played like Secret of Mana. I played like Final Fantasy VI, Suikoden. I'd say in terms of story, Suikoden probably had a bit of an influence. The part where all of the, gosh, it's been so long, I don't remember even the names. All the people that are attached to the rune kind of come back for a reprise. Like, as you guys know, at the end of the game, there's like kind of a reprise from all the characters you've helped.
Yeah.
Let's see. I think Maniac Mansion and point-and-click adventures like that kind of influenced the gameplay a lot. As you know, same with like 2D Zeldas. What else? Oh, there was you know, the Monsieur T part when you go up to the mansion? Mm-hmm. That was actually influenced by the Glitz Pit in Paper Mario, The Thousand Year Door. Because when I played that game, I was like, oh, I love this feeling of kind of going to this other, like a dormitory almost, like in the game. It made me feel even more immersed. Like, oh, what's this other world? I want to find out about this. Who's Mr. X? You know, what's going on? And so I sort of wanted to have this other place that you go to where you're kind of staying there and becoming part of that culture. So, yeah, it was a lot of different things.
Yeah, of course. I mean, every title you mentioned just brought a big grin to my face. It brings me back to a lot of earlier games that I played. Chrono Trigger, there's a reason why it's usually on people's top five list of all-time greatest games, for sure. Mm-hmm. yeah. So I had another follow-up question. Eric, do you have anything else? I have a couple other things I want to get into, but do you have any other questions, Eric?
I think I had one, but I kind of forgot it at some point.
Obviously you're a big gamer. Are you wondering what's going on in E3? Are you like every other fan that's just like clamoring to get any piece of gaming news, especially when it has to do with RPGs?
You know, I actually haven't been keeping up that well, but strangely, I'm quite curious about the Animal Crossing stuff. Like, I haven't been keeping up, so I'm probably going to go binge watch a lot of that
Animal
stuff,
Crossing but... was so good on the GameCube. I used to play Animal Crossing so long, man.
Yeah. Oh, awesome.
Yeah. I did have a question about Rockwind and gaming in general. A lot of times, people get caught up with violence in video games. Mm-hmm. There have been multiple studies that prove that violence in video games does not translate to violence in real life. I like the way that you approached Rockwind with literally no violence. So was that a conscious decision on your part to give somebody a game that they really didn't have to kill or, you know, do any of that type of stuff?
I think it was just the message I was getting trying to get across kind of matched that form of gameplay better, because I guess it's like with the boy, he can't really, you know, go off and be the type of hero that's like slaying dragons and doing that kind of stuff. But I sort of wanted to show that, you know, there's heroes that fight battles, there's heroes that, you know, like save people's lives, like literally speaking, and then there's heroes that are just heroes by virtue of like being there for somebody and empathizing and listening to them, and that's the kind of hero the boy is. And so I guess it's just the type of, the type of story and the type of character boy is.
I think we need more games like this to satiate a lot of the concerns that older people have. I remember growing up and my parents being deeply concerned with violence and stuff like that. But I turned out okay, I think. So, you know, but I do agree that there should always be a market for not only a younger audience, but a more thoughtful audience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm always happy to hear that like grandparents play games. Like one of my friends was talking about how his grandmother, I think, played Plants vs. Zombies. And I was like, what? That's so cool. I know George, the designer of the game, also really likes hearing that when older people can play his game.
It's always a good feeling to be accessible to every, you know, person that's out there. I mean, obviously, that's kind of the point. Your game Rockwind's getting some very good reviews. I know Eric had a pretty stellar review from Rockwind. What's been the reception from people that you know?
Oh, you mean like personally, like friends and family?
Friends, family, acquaintances that have talked to you about it in general. What's the vibe going around?
I'm pretty happy and surprised that they've been liking it. I guess I have some sisters and we used to play games together when we were growing up, but they both kind of stopped playing when we got to high school. And like occasionally I can get them to play, you know, something, but they're less into games. So one of them, she was like, oh, I'll play it. And I was pretty surprised about that for starters. Mm-hmm. But then as she was playing it, she was like texting me, questions like, Laura, I'm stuck here. Where do I go here? Oh my gosh, is this really happening? Oh, this is sad. You know, she's texting me updates. And I was really happy because she, it really resonated with her. And I didn't know if it would or not. Yeah. My mom also is one of our best beta testers. You know, I tell the story that, when the game was super, super early, the first hour had some kind of, I don't know. I don't even remember. It was some kind of little fetch quest or something. But I ended up redoing the whole first part of the game because as she was playing, she fell asleep. And I was like, oh, my gosh. So since then, that helped me improve the game a lot. And she played the whole thing. And she was, you know, saying how certain parts made her cry. And, so far people have been liking it, and that surprises me because to me I'm like, it feels like a very niche game or something that I would personally like, but if other people like it, I'm always like, oh wow, cool.
I haven't played the game yet. I will. Eric obviously has played the game all the way through, but I have seen plenty of video, I've seen some reviews, I've seen what people are saying about the game, and it seems like the type of game that's just going to be one of those games that is going to be more of a word of mouth thing, you know, and it's.
I'd like to see it get, like, maybe get in touch with like some programmers and code a version for a console, like the Switch or something. That'd be wonderful.
That'd be so cool. I would love to have it on the Switch.
I played Undertale. That was also a really good game, and there's been rumblings about whether or not it'd come to a Nintendo console or not. It didn't really hit the Wii U, but I think a Switch version might be more possible now.
Has there been any discussion with anybody about that, Laura, about bringing it to maybe a Nintendo Switch?
I think that I've been asking people like how to go about doing that because there's folks that – I guess there's like publishing houses or people that do porting. And then there's also, you know, more independent contractors, and people are telling me the pros and cons. And I was sort of saying once the dust settles from this first round of things, I'd like to look into how to do that.
That would be awesome. I think there would be a huge base for it, to be honest with
you. There's a lot of people like Frank who don't have PCs.
I'm a Mac guy. I know I can get it on Mac, though, so I'm looking forward to that. I have a question about which you prefer. Do you prefer game development or do you prefer the music aspect of games?
I think I like storytelling, and there's some things about game development that I really, really love. Like, I love the storytelling aspect. I love puzzles. The puzzles were actually a lot harder before, but I was trying to find middle ground because I didn't like the idea that people would get like irreparably stuck on the puzzles and not get to experience the story. So I tried to find some middle ground. I tried to put some dynamic stuff in to help players. And then I always include the walkthrough, but, that setting those things up, setting those eerie scenes up where you feel kind of scared, you know, that I enjoy a lot. I like making games for my friends and silly things like that. But I think music is probably something that I could do longer in my life, just because like I can make a song a lot faster than I can make a game. Sure. And I think writing songs with lyrics is kind of just such a natural thing for me that I really do like that a lot. So, I don't know. I think I like songwriting better than than game development, but I like game development better than background music. I don't know.
I could definitely see why. There's no question. There's a lot involved in video game making. But speaking of the music, I would be remiss. This will be kind of the final thing for today, Laura. I know you've got bigger and better things to do. But
I just have one tiny question.
Oh, yeah. First. Go ahead, Eric. Go ahead.
I want to know what games you're looking forward to the most this year, if any.
I really want to play Splatoon 2. Mm-hmm. And I haven't gotten to play the new Zelda game yet. And there's actually a lot of games on my queue that came out a while ago that I didn't play because I was working on Rockwind at the time. Mm-hmm. One of them being Ni no Kuni, which I actually have to find the game because it's somewhere in my room and I don't know where it is. But for that game, I didn't want to let myself play it because I was like, oh, I heard the premise, you know, like, is there some similar things, you know, like a fantasy world and a real world. And it's like, you know, such beautiful art. And I felt like if I played it, I would get discouraged because I'd be like, oh, I can't, Rockwood's never going to be anything like that. So I was like, I'll wait till I'm done. Yeah. But yeah, I'm looking forward to playing that as well.
There's some good games coming out this year for sure. It's never been a better time to be a gamer, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I've been around forever. One quick thing. My son made a quick video I actually made a video of him, unbeknownst to him, playing something, and I want to play for you. And if you have anything to say about his playing piano, would you mind listening just for about 40 seconds?
Sure.
All right, here we go. That was him playing. Aww. Yeah.
That's so cool. Did he do that by ear? Did he like Final Fantasy games?
He is a huge RPG fan like myself. He learned it by ear, not by music or anything. He's starting to become very, very good at piano. But he's a big fan of yours, and I thought I'd let you hear it and give him any advice or any words of encouragement or anything.
Oh, well, I think that's brilliant that he's playing stuff by ear. I know when I was growing up, I was terrible at sight reading, and but my ear was really good. So I'd struggle with, you know, classical pieces. I'd get in trouble because I'd go get the music from the library and try to learn it that way by listening to it. Uh-huh. And then I'd get in trouble. But I guess I think that's really good. Keep training your ear because I think like the I'm not sure if he's taking lessons as well.
No,
but like
no lessons.
Oh,
yeah.
No lessons.
No lessons.
Yeah. I think like all parts of piano stuff were important. So even though I was poor at sight reading and in theory and that kind mm-hmm. of stuff, mm-hmm. It was still helpful. And I think that if he keeps training his ear and learning about things like chords and chord progressions and just what else? Like listening to things that he enjoys and then trying to reconstruct them from scratch like he's doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can learn a lot that way.
Yeah. He can read music, but he'd prefer the ear way of doing music. He got all the talent that I don't have. So I'm sure
he'll, that's fantastic. That was beautiful. Yeah, he did a great job with that.
He's pretty good. He's got a ways to go, but I mean, he's no Laura Shigehara just yet, but he's getting there. All right, Laura Shigehara, it's been such a pleasure. Do you have anything you want to plug? Obviously, Rockwind on Steam right now, I believe, for $9.99, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't really think of anything. I do plan to get back into my YouTube channel again because it's been forever since I've done like a video game music remix, like a vocal remix. So mm-hmm, mm-hmm. My YouTube channel is just super Shiggy. But yeah,
your voice is awesome too. I have to say you have an amazing voice. You're an amazing talented musician. I don't think that's something anybody will disagree with. You're fantastic.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. And also before you go, if you have a new project on the line, we'd be more than happy to have you back on the show to discuss it.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that would be great. Yep. Yeah. Once I always say I'm going to take a bit of a break before I get back into making another game, but ideas keep creeping into my head. So I'm like, ooh, maybe it'll be sooner rather than later.
You need your own company with employees. That'd be the way to go. All right, Laura, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time. You know, good luck in the future, and we hope to talk to you soon.
Oh, thank you for having me on the show. That was really fun. I hope you guys have a wonderful week.
Yeah, you too. Thank you so much.